Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Fastest 2 hours in radio. We're so happy that you're here with us, Damian Barling, along with Kenny Caraway. You're on ESPN 1320. If you want to be a part of the show, at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. Follow the station page as well, at ESPN 1320. We'll have the phone lines open for you as we dive into the conversation here. 916-349-1320. Plenty to talk about. How about the Raiders yesterday? We'll get to them. Yeah.
Shout out to the Raiders, man.
Are they real?
Well, we'll find out real soon.
Okay.
We'll find out real soon.
Kenny Caraway's patent. Look ahead at the schedule. This is becoming your new favorite thing. This is your new favorite thing to look ahead at the schedule. And we're going to find out, okay, we're not going to judge him yet.
Yeah.
But we're going to judge him real soon.
Yeah, real soon. Especially when it's week two. All right. You know, some things you just got to calm down a little bit on week two.
And that is not going to stop us from our first ever D'Lo and KC power rankings.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. I'm ready.
Let me guess. You got the 49ers at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
They spit hot flames.
We got confirmation on the news that we all knew. I mean, they don't tell you that we believe it's an ACL tear unless they know it's an ACL tear. We got all of that confirmation very late yesterday afternoon. Nick Bosa, torn ACL. Obviously, he is out for the season. Solomon Thomas, torn ACL. Obviously, he too is out for the season.
Yeah. I mean, even though that the MRI truck tore its ACL on the way there and slowed down the process, we all knew what was going on. And it just sucks, man. You know, I hate to see injuries of any kind, but specifically ones like this that injure season. Because nowadays, science is, you know, great and everything's good with that, but you know, you always get into the happen nowadays and be like, oh, he tore his ACL, science is great, he'll be right back. We don't know that, you know.
Yeah,
we don't know how the body's gonna react to it. This is Nick Bosa's second ACL tear in his life.
Leg, right? This is different than the one that he did in high school.
Yeah, this
separate
one was
knee.
The left. Yeah. I think the one in high school was the right. So you know, hopefully everything comes back right.
Is there another Bosa brother, like on the wire, that we can go get? Like, is free
maybe
agent Bosa?
Maybe the dad. I mean, we can't get Joey, but maybe the dad, you know, can fill in.
He's probably a badass, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I would not want to cross the Bosa father. He, I'm sure, is a scary individual as well. And, you know, a lot of Saquon Barkley, ACL tear, out for the year. Cortland Sutton, ACL tear, out for the year. You know, people, ACL, and these are star players that this is happening to. And so people are trying to make the correlation between abbreviated training camp and lack of preseason as the potential. You know, when something like this happens, whenever you get this many big names with this many catastrophic injuries, people are looking for, like, the why, like, how? How did this happen? And so there are a lot of people, while, you know, a lot of 49er fans and you know, Kyle Shanahan as well, not trying to treat this as a conspiracy theory, like Kyle Shanahan spoke about it after the game, as did Eric Armstead, Fred Warner. They talked about the turf.
Yeah.
But Saquon Barkley, he didn't play on the turf. Cortland Sutton didn't play on the turf. Like,
right.
Some of these other guys who were injured, we reported an Achilles tear yesterday. I think it was a safety in Indianapolis. Like, they weren't all at MetLife, or as you referred it to, I believe it was MetDeath Stadium. Like, they all weren't there. So, you know, I still haven't seen what happened to Solomon Thomas. I heard it described, but I don't think I've actually seen it.
I saw it. He's, you know, making a power rush, or, you know, a bull rush, and somebody, he was engaged with a guy, and the guy next to him kind of got pushed into his knee, and it went inward.
So he got rolled.
Yeah,
Nick
for lack
Bosa.
Of a better word. Yeah,
Nick Bosa did too.
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make is, I don't know how much. If we were talking about, like, popped hamstrings, or maybe even torn Achilles, I think those, you know, any type of soft tissue injury, I think, like, okay, you have a very good argument for, okay, the abbreviated preseason, or the you know, the odd preseason that we had. No preseason games. Maybe that played a factor. The being away from even lack of OTAs, as much as, you know, there's going to be a time. I know it doesn't seem like it. Maybe in about 2 years, a year and a half, we're going to be making fun of OTAs again, just like the good old days where we talked about how stupid they were.
Can't wait for those days.
Right. And so, but now it's like, oh, wait a minute. They weren't around the coaching staff. They weren't around their normal trainers. But these ACL tears, they don't feel like that. Like, certainly in the case of the 49ers, these don't feel like injuries that were caused because of lack of time on a football field.
Yeah, but at the, and I agree with you, but I just think there is something to be said for everything kind of felt a little rushed, you know, this mm-hmm. offseason, and it seemed disjointed. One thing, you know, about, you know, being an athlete is there's a certain clock that your body has. You know what I mean? That your body is used to. These guys have been kind of doing the same thing for 25 years. You know what I'm saying? And when that gets thrown off a bit, you know, maybe you're, I don't know the science behind it, but maybe your body does, you know, not adjust the same way as it normally would if you had a normal offseason, normal training camp, things of that nature. I'm an old man at this point, but I know that, like, when these gyms open up and things of that nature, I'm going to want to shoot around. I'm not going to just go and start playing pickup. Like, I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that. Like, that is a bad way to go about things. I'm going to take 1, 2, 3 weeks to just kind of shoot around, jog at 40-50% and ramp myself up. And it kind of feels like these guys didn't do the proper ramp up that they normally would. Like, it was like, training camp started, let's go. We only have a certain amount of time. Like, let's go. Let's get it in. We're in full pads, full practice, whatever the case might be. I know it wasn't technically like that, but it just kind of seems like there
pretty
was
pretty close. Like, it was, I mean, it I think it was officially we had, what, like a little over a month. Mm-hmm. And it was a 2 week, they called it, ramp up period, where it was strength and conditioning. It was no pads and no real field work at the time, unless the field was like an agility drill.
Right.
So it's
and that's not knowing what they were able to do before that. Typically, typically the way it goes nowadays, training camp is really about the team. It's not about getting in shape or getting your strength and conditioning up. You've done the way the sports are nowadays. You've done that all off season.
And when you get to training,
very true. When you get to the training camp, it's about, okay, this is what we're building for as a team, plays, schemes, all this other stuff. I mean, in some cases, because people couldn't, you know, work out or do anything like that, couldn't get with their trainers normally. I mean, these guys were getting in shape, you know, starting to do all that in training camp. And that could have been a shock to the body. So some of it is just happenstance. Some of it is, you know, if we had a full offseason, Solomon Thomas probably would have, you know, still tore his ACL with what happened with that. But I do think some of it may go into how the body is kind of forced to be put into this top level action.
Bruce Irvin, Malik Hooker, a couple of more guys that were injured. This doesn't even include Marlon Mack, who was injured last week. This doesn't include Gerald McCoy, who didn't even make it to the season.
Oof.
Von Miller didn't even make it to the season. Yeah. I mean, the stars.
Jalen Hurd, excuse me.
Jalen Hurd, yeah. The stars that have gone down in the last 4 weeks is just it's just stunning.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And you know, we've got 14 more games. We've got 15 more weeks of football left.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, okay, it's already starting. You know, someone said this over the weekend. Yeah, you might have said it on the post game show, survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, like week two. Now, like, yeah, this season may very well play out as, okay, who's left standing? Like, who's got the deep? We see this a lot with quarterbacks. Like, you know, inevitably, a good or a great quarterback goes down. And it's like, well, we saw it last year with Kansas City.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes missed time. He didn't miss a ton of time.
About five games?
Yeah,
three, four, five games.
He missed time last year. And it was like, okay, how good is Kansas City? Can they, you know, can they stay afloat? You know, we're probably going to be in a situation now where Jimmy Garoppolo is, I think, we'll play for you what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, but I think the belief is he's probably not going to play, despite the fact the news on his ankle wasn't, like, super doom and gloom yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It becomes a situation where Drew Brees missed games last year. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater stepped in for him and did a fine job.
What, they go 13-3?
Yeah, it happens every year. And it's like, okay, now it's not just the quarterback position. Now it's like, okay, you're going to lose guys at multiple positions this year. How deep is your roster? And I know you think very highly of the San Francisco 49ers roster. We were trying to figure out, like, you can't, similar to George Kittle, and we still don't know George Kittle status. We'll probably have we won't know George Kittle status for Sunday, but we'll probably have a significantly better idea tomorrow when the team practices. But much like George Kittle, it's not like you're just going, okay, who's next on the depth chart for Nick Bosa?
Right.
Oh, Kerry Hyder Jr. Okay, pal, next. Hyder
Jr. had some good moments, too.
Okay.
Not saying he's Nick Bosa. Don't get it twisted.
But that's and that's the thing. It's like you have fine, you know, you have fine moments in the moment when you fill in. But now you've got a team. Now you got a team in the New York Giants entering a game, and you know, the Giants aren't good. They're terrible. They're they're pretty damn close to as bad as the Jets are.
Maybe without Saquon, they may be equally now.
And they might be. But they're still a professional football team with professional coaches who are now looking at a defense going, okay, we lost our primary weapon, but look at what they've lost over there. Richard Sherman's not playing. We already know that. They lost Nick Bosa. They saw Solomon Thomas. And now, unlike what the New York Jets could do, they're game planning for those guys being gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be up to Kyle Shanahan. It's going to be up to Robert Saleh to figure out, okay, how do we – I don't want to use the term. It's so overused. The plug-and-play term is so, like, overused. But there's going to have to be a situation where you're filling in for all of these guys by committee. You're probably going to see a high rotation of defensive players over the – and we know Ziggy Ansah is on – you know, he landed in New York. He's got COVID testing to pass. They believe if he gets the thumbs up, he should be able to practice tomorrow. He should be able to be on the field for the 49ers tomorrow. Again, that's a fine – it's a fine pickup, but it doesn't equate to Nick Bosa or Solomon Thomas being out. No. So I think we see a lot of movement on the defensive end over the course of the next few weeks until Robert Saleh and his coaching staff really settle into how they want to maneuver around all of these holes they got.
And to use another often used phrase, at least in the culture, Saleh's going to have to get in his bag. Okay, he's definitely going to have to get in his back boot, how he, you know, maneuvers. It's not just let's roll out these four and we're going to play them the majority of the snaps. They've got a pretty deep defensive line depth chart, and he's going to need them all. And these new guys are going to have to, you know, step in and play their part, and he's going to have to do certain things like putting people in the best position from down to down to be effective. He's really going to have to get in his bag with all this.
The Raiders are 2-0, but how?
Say that again?
The Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders,
what
are
Raiders?
2-0. Las Vegas, wow. Never lost, if you will. will they crack D'Lo and Casey's inaugural power rankings, and how irrationally high does Kenny Caraway have the San Francisco 49ers? We'll have all of that coming up here as D'Lo and Casey continue on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
So happy that you're here with us, 916-349-1320. We hope you have as much fun listening to the show as we do doing the show.
I have a blast.
We really, really do, man, and we're so happy you allow us to be a part of your day, whether you're listening on the radio.com app or you're listening on ESPN 1320 AM on a traditional old school radio. Maybe you're actually in the car and you're still commuting, man. Either way, no matter where you listen, we just appreciate you so, so very much for listening. The Raiders are 2-0. The Raiders are 3-0 in their home opener after switching cities.
Oh, okay. That they have three games. Okay, that's interesting.
They got stats for everything. Okay, all kidding aside, 34-24. There's two ways to look at this, and I think it's fair to look at them both ways. This was an impressive win for the Las Vegas Raiders.
It was. It absolutely was.
It was an impressive win for the Las Vegas. This was an unimpressive performance from the New Orleans Saints. I think it's fair to look at it both ways. It's not taking away from anything that the Raiders did, but I wasn't impressed with the Saints in week number one. And now Drew Brees is talking about my job isn't too to lead and throw a bunch of yards. It's to lead this football team. Or it's like, oh.
Okay, whatever, Drew.
Like, oh, like, have we hit that point in the season already? Like, it was kind of a defensive remark from Drew Brees. And to his defense, I guess. Like, I don't, you know, maybe the question was worded a little smarky. But we're used to seeing it. I mean, he threw for 312 yards. It's not like he... It's not like he threw up a Nate Peterman special. Like he
if you watch the game, I think we both agree Drew didn't look good. And this is back-to-back weeks.
No.
Where he didn't look good.
No. He very much did not. I don't think the offense as a whole looked good. You know, Kamara was okay. He was good. Alvin Kamara was good.
That pick before the end of the first half was atrocious.
Man.
Like, that was inexcusable for somebody that's been around as long as Drew Brees.
You know who Derek Carr has had a good start to his season.
Yes.
Derek Carr has had a good start to his season. Josh Jacobs, again, said it last week. This is what made me believe in the Oakland. Bless mm-hmm. it.
It's
this
okay.
is what made
yeah.
me believe.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. In the Las Vegas Raiders is run the ball. They didn't deviate from it. I feel like and I don't give John Gruden credit.
Wait
very often. In fact, I don't give John Gruden credit ever.
Gotcha.
But I fully expected a Jason Garrett situation where they would see, oh, look at this. Josh Jacobs. Look how well this worked. You know what we're going to do next week? We're not going to give him the ball. That's the old Jason Garrett philosophy where if it works in week one, there's no way we're doing it. In week two, and part
we're
of me expected
zig while they zag,
right, and then we're going to lose 34-0. And part of me expected John Gruden to do something like that. I don't know why. That's completely unfair to him, but he didn't. The Raiders continued to run the ball. They continued to give Josh Jacobs the ball. They continued to work with Jalen Rashad. I love everything. Two games in, I love everything the Raiders have done, and they're 2-0 right now.
Absolutely, man. The Raiders, they have looked potent on the offensive end. It was looking a little shaky on the defensive end to start that game.
That's Raider football.
That is. Yeah, that's Raider football.
that's Raider football.
But they got it together, though. They got it together. They bounced back, made some adjustments or whatever the case may be, took advantage of Drew Brees not being what we've seen him be in the past. And they were able to somehow dig deep and I don't know if they said Hail Marys, prayers or whatever, but they were able to tackle that unstoppable human and that unstoppable force that is Taysom Hill just enough to win the game.
Okay. Go ahead. Do you want to unload on him? I'll lay back and let you. I know how much Taysom Hill,
have you seen him lower his shoulder? You know what I'm saying? Have you seen him lower his shoulder? I mean, we hear about that on every. Did you see Taysom Hill lowering his shoulder? Did you see that? How did the Raiders stop that? I don't know.
Taysom Hill, 2 runs for 8 yards.
Oh, say that again. Excuse me?
2 runs for 8 yards.
Mm, interesting.
You would think he was getting a game ball after way those they were gushing over his ability to lower his shoulder.
How much is he making this year?
Oh, we had it. What
Wasn't
was it,
it
16
like,
million?
Yeah.
16, 16, 17 million, 16 million dollars.
And yeah. And what was his numbers yesterday?
Two carries. Uh-huh. 2 carries for 8 yards.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have no passing numbers for Taysom Hill yesterday, so I don't believe that he attempted a pass.
Mm. Okay. You gotta have him though. Gotta have him. That boy Taysom, he's a game changer. He's a game changer, boy, I tell you that. That 8 more yards than you and me.
So people will learn this about me. Silence is like the third member of the show. And sometimes you just got to – sometimes I recognize when my partner's upset, when he's talking – I recognize when his sarcasm flag is in the air. And sometimes you just got to lay back and let the silence speak to you.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing.
No sarcasm, though, Damien. Did you see how he lowered his shoulder? Did you see that? 3-4-9-13-20. If you saw how Taysom Hill lowered his shoulder on his run.
And this is just a yes or no. Like, by the way, you just call in. Yep, I saw it. That's all we need. 3-4-9-13-20. 916-3-4-9-13-20.
I'm going to leave Taysom Hill alone, man. I'm gonna leave him alone, man.
Well, yeah,
I'm going to stall him out, man.
Until next week. Until next week.
I'm
and then we can bring
him out, man.
We can bring Taysom Hill back into the equation. Oh boy, Jason Jones is he's your partner, by the way. This is your guy. Okay. Jason Jones weighing in. We sent out a tweet because obviously we want you to listen to the radio show here on the radio.com app. I wrote the first ever D'Lo and KC power rankings coming up. Do the 2-0 Raiders make the top 10? And how irrationally high does IMK Diddy have the 49ers? Jason Jones of The Athletic responds, Niners should be nowhere near the top five.
They definitely, well, so this also goes to a question I asked last night. Top five in the NFL? No, absolutely not. I'm not putting them there. I said top five possibly in the NFC. And, yeah, there's a question to be had there.
Maybe we'll have a discussion about that. Our man, John, he's all over Twitter. I know he's listening. He says, wow, why do you two hate my team so much? His team?
Yeah,
the Chicago Bears.
If you think we hate them now, just listen to the end of the show.
Oh, wow, that's a tease I wasn't expecting. Of hate for the Chicago Bears coming later in the show.
Keep listening, John. I got love for you though, bro. But keep listening.
Do you wanna unleash a tirade right now on the upcoming Raiders schedule? Because they're 2-0 right now.
Yeah,
and I know we know what's coming up. They've got New England on Sunday.
That's must see TV. That's must see TV. I'm gonna give them that. It is must see TV to see them Raiders going up against the Patriots.
But I think they have a schedule that you find a little less than favorable.
Well, I mean, we asked a question in the show meeting. You know, are the Raiders for real? And I think their offense is legit. I do think their offense is legit. Now, as far as an overall team, what I said, just like I said about the Bills and eventually about the Arizona Cardinals, we're going to learn a lot in these games coming up. Next four games for the Raiders, at Patriots versus the Bills, at Chiefs versus the Bucks. They're 2-0 right now. What do you think the Raiders' record is after the Bucks game? I think they should be doing backflips if they're maybe not exaggerate like that. But if they're 3-3, they're in a good spot.
I think that's what they are. Can we point out after that, though, they have the Cleveland Browns, whatever the Los Angeles Chargers are. And I don't have a clue. That'll be in their home. That'll be in the Las Vegas home arena in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, they're going to get bailed out because no fans. The games in LA are
fans.
Absolutely a ninth home game for Chargers, pretty much. Well, it's going to be a ninth home game for everybody. But when you talk about in a division, Raiders at Chargers every year, ninth home game for the Raiders. Matter of fact, that might even be more of a home field advantage than they'll have in Vegas game in LA. Right?
Let me tell you, no fans were in that Death Star last night. None. I talk to my buddies over at Cofield and Company, a Las Vegas radio station, an ESPN Las Vegas radio station, every single Monday.
Yeah.
They could not believe how many fans flew into Las Vegas just to be in Las Vegas for the first home game. Yeah. Nobody was in the arena. There were fans there. They just weren't inside the arena.
No, it's going to be lit for them. And they're going to have that ninth home game against the Chargers every year. Niners, they will have the ninth home game every single year when they play the Rams. It just is what it is.
So after the Tampa Bay game, they have Cleveland, they've got Los Angeles, they've got Denver. But you're right, that is a brutal stretch. As we've looked at ahead at schedules for a number of different teams, this is a good, I'd argue it's a good measuring stick. And I know that's a term that I've used a lot this week, so forgive me for not being creative, but this is a good measuring stick game for New England, too. I think New England is really, really good. I think New England is the AFC East champion. You and I disagree in that, and that's fine. Time will tell. But the Raiders, the Raiders are still kind of people I think want to dip their toe in a little bit. Like, oh, okay, I see it. They beat the Saints. That was impressive. Yeah. They beat Carolina. Yeah, not as impressive, but still, they're up 2-0. Their offense is flowing. And correct me if I'm wrong, 35 points in week one
and
34 here in week number two. So
34 in week one, 34 last night.
So there you go. They're consistent.
They're consistent. If they can average 34 points a game, they're going to be really good. Right. Yeah, this game against the Patriots, though, I think it's a situation where I got my eye on the Patriots defense because Seattle lit them up. Seattle lit them up. And Seattle's good on offense. They're good, but they lit them up. So,
Like I need some, I need like some really dramatic like music to like bring us into our power rankings here. I'm going to find that for next week. Just something.
We need that.
Like the Fiend's theme music. Like that's just something super dramatic here. Okay, so Chicago's not in your top five. Top five power rankings.
No, Damien, no.
Now,
not even close.
Now, you're not going to be silly here. The 49ers are not in your top five in the NFL power rankings.
No, okay. They're not.
Okay, who's the fifth team in your power rankings right now?
In the NFL?
Team number five. Yeah, NFL.
NFL, I'm going Kansas City. Baltimore. We're doing this in order, correct?
Yeah, why not? Okay. You already started. We might as well. So this is 1-5?
1-5.
Okay.
I'm going Kansas City number one, Baltimore number two. Whew. I'm gonna go Seattle number three. It gets a little tight here. But I'm gonna go Rams number four. Okay. Showing a little respect. Rams number four. And I'm going to go Bills number five slightly over the Green Bay Packers.
Okay. I like it. All right. Very good. I'm going to do it in a way that maybe builds up a little more drama than you did where you gave us the number one first and then dropped.
Well, once I go through four and I don't name the Chiefs, obviously they're number one.
Oh, right? Well, that's fine. That's fine because at five, I have the Arizona Cardinals, who you refused to put into your top five.
Calm down.
I've got
the Cardinals are better than go ahead.
The Cardinals are better than the 2-0 Bills.
Okay.
John, if you're listening, they're better than the 2-0 Bears.
Why are the Bears even mentioned?
They're better than the 2-0 Green Bay Packers, and they're just slightly better than the 1-1 New England Patriots, who I fully expect to be in my top five power rankings next week. And the Raiders, I wanted to, but I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I'd have the Raiders ranked higher than Green Bay. Green Bay finished 13-3 last year and no one cared. Number four, the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. I have the Kansas City Chiefs at number four on my inaugural power rankings.
What?
Number four, Kenny Caraway, on my inaugural power rankings. These are my power rankings. Number three, Javon. The Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams have put up impressive offensive performances. At number two is the MVP in his squad who just continued to roll, Baltimore Ravens. That should leave no question as to the best team right now in the NFL is the Seattle Seahawks. And for those who missed it, I want to repeat it again. The Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Ravens, the Seahawks from 5-1, the five best teams in the NFL. I just listed three teams in the NFC West.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and the best thing about that list is I'm not wrong.
Okay. All right, sir. Okay, let's calm down just a little bit.
Because lists are not subjective. Like, I am clearly right in my list here of power rankings.
You got the Cardinals in there at number five. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, look, I asked a question on Twitter. I made it specifically to the NFC, and I said, are four of the top five teams in the NFC all in the NFC West? People looked at me crazy, looked at me as a homer for saying the Niners are in there. So the thing about it is when you talk about the Niners, you have Arizona as a top five team in the game. And the Niners lost by 4 points to the top five team in the game. They beat up on the Jets. So all of a sudden, they started off the season like, if we're doing this like college football, they started like top three. They lose one game, and now they're what, down to 18? They lose a game to a top five team, and they're 18?
I had the 49ers in the top three before the season started.
Where did you have them? Actually, you debated on whether or not they'd make the playoffs.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah,
I did. I had them higher than the Rams and the Cardinals. That's for sure. Definitely 2 weeks ago, I had the 49ers higher than the Rams and the Cardinals. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think that the Niners are
and to play with
they're a top five team in the NFC. They're a top five team in NFC.
Okay, well, they're behind Seattle, they're behind Los Angeles, and they're behind Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I put Green Bay in there. I think the Niners are better than the Cowboys.
Oh,
I think they're, yeah, better, they're better than Tampa
than the
Bay.
Cowboys aren't good yet.
And they sorry, might, John, they're better than the Bears.
Dude, the Bears are 2-0. Is that one of the wildest stories in the first
it's
two weeks of the season?
It's definitely wild because they certainly – I'm not going to say they should be 0-2 because they should have beat the Giants. So they should be about 1-1.
If we turned off the Bears and the Lions game and I said, Kenny, I bet you a year's salary that the Bears are going to be 2-0, you would have taken that bet in a heartbeat.
Somebody would be getting paid.
Oh, my goodness. So neither one of us are buying Tennessee or Pittsburgh?
Absolutely not. Pittsburgh, I shouldn't say absolutely not Pittsburgh. I got my eye on them, but I'm not. I got to see a little bit more.
Ryan Tannehill deserves credit because they're doing it's not the Derrick Henry show like it was, you know, for, what was it, eight or nine weeks last year. This is Ryan Tannehill.
He's made some plays. I got to give him credit there.
And that's the thing with him. When he's healthy, he can win his team football games. He did it in Miami. Like, when he is healthy, he can win you games. The problem is he normally doesn't stay healthy for multiple seasons in a row.
So Damien, there's something that, you know, I just got to take the time. I got to ask the question.
Uh-oh.
I got to bring it back a little bit here, because when you talk about the San Francisco 49ers, everybody talking about, you know, the injuries and, you know, the fact that, you know, the injuries are piling up, and there's some big injuries.
Can I give you another one? Not that I don't. This is a surprise to nobody listening. D Ford, he's not going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, par for the course.
If Kyle Shanahan just came out on Sunday and said, "Dude, D Ford's never playing again," would you be surprised?
No. And I shouldn't laugh at that, but no. Yeah, I mean, his body has failed him in the NFL. You know, and it's unfortunate because he's a talented guy when healthy, but his body just hasn't been able to hold up. But when you talk about the Niners this year, I'm starting to get certain vibes. You know, I'm going back in the Wayback Machine. And for all my 49er fans that know this moment, I'm getting a little bit of 1997 San Francisco 49er vibes. Now, all my Niner fans out there, you guys know what happening on opening day of 1997. One of the most dreadful opening days in franchise history. Tampa Bay, Florida. You want to talk about Nick Bosa tearing his ACL in week two. Can you imagine if we had a D'Lo and Casey in 1997 and Jerry Rice tore his ACL to start the season? Jerry Rice ripped his knee up to start the season. Steve Young got knocked in the head about 9 times, got knocked out of the game, came back in, got knocked out again. They lose in Tampa Bay in a disastrous, a historic. Yeah. I'm telling you, for all my 49ers fans, they all remember. They remember this like Super Bowls, where they were at for this particular opening day. Do you know what that team finished that year? 13-3, and they lost in the NFC Championship game. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that this team is going 13-3. One of the things that happened that year is the NFC West that year was putrid. They had the Saints, Falcons, Carolina Panthers. They all finished under .500. Obviously, that's not the case here. They're in a tougher division. But this team, they lost Nick Bosa for the year, but other guys are coming back. The guys that are out right now, they're coming back. Luckily for them, they've got a relatively soft schedule to try and get those guys back, get them acclimated. You can possibly go 4-1 going into the Rams game. All right? The season's not over. And people are throwing this team by the wayside. They're burying this team. They're talking about the injuries are too much. Look, they can't suffer anymore. I get that.
Okay. You better. I don't know if you got a wood desk or a wood wall, but you might want to knock on it, player.
I'm stomping on these wood floors in here.
They can't get any more injuries.
They definitely can't get that.
There's a handful more they can get.
But all I'm going to say, Damien, is I see everybody burying them. I see it. And that's all I'm going to say. I see everybody burying this team.
Okay, stop it. You're doing it again. You're reading.
I see everybody
burying
this
team. Kenny, you did this before the Arizona game. You're reading the clippings again. You're the worst professional athlete ever. You're the guy who reads all of the negative news about him. And then you try to internalize it and say, I'm reading it all, and they're getting ready to show you. You're doing it again.
Have you read an article that says the Niners season isn't over, that they still have a shot? Have you heard a clip? Have you seen a Twitter clip?
See, you seek out articles that you find like motivation in this show. You're motivated by people talking down about the San Francisco 49ers. That's what drives you as a radio show host.
I see it. I put out the question last night. I just put out the question. I said, are the NFC West, is it all four of those teams, are they top five in the NFC? And people talked about the Niners, and they gave their points. They're hurt right now, whatever the case may be. Jason Jones said, you know, my guy, he told me they shouldn't be any higher than ninth in the NFC, not the NFL, in the NFC. I didn't seek it. This is what he told me. I'm just taking notes.
You were seeking it because you put it out there on Twitter. And you know Jason's going to troll you. 10.5 times out of 10, Jason Jones is going to get at you. You fall for it every time. Look at you.
I'm just taking the notes. Look, I bet you at D-Lo and KC, call us up, 349-1320. They're going to tell. I see the burying going on, man. My man, what's my man, Kyron? He hears it, too. He always hears it. He knows what time it is. I bet you he's going to holler at me because he hears it, too. They're burying us, man.
That's because you two are cut from the same 49er cloth. That's why.
Look, it's not even a homer take. Aside from Bosa, Bosa's gone, right? And that's a big blow.
Mm-hmm.
But the week before they play the Rams, if Jimmy's back, Mostert's back, Debo's back, Kittle back, to go with Jordan Reed, to go with Ayuk, to go with the guys that they already have there, as far as like a Trent Williams or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, season's still over though, right?
No one
Fred Warner's still there. Richard Sherman is back.
No one said the season is over.
Y'all tell Damien. Tell Damien and link him to the articles. Link him to the video clips. We've seen these things. We've seen them.
But I'm going to throw this at you. You might want to chill with this schedule thing because we do this every year. Kings fans, we're notorious for it. We start looking at a schedule and go, well, look who we're playing here. Like, we should be able to look at, by the end of this week, we could be above 500. And normally by the end of the week, we're like six games below 500.
I'm going to tell you the difference. The Kings fans have no, and myself included, have no business doing something like that. It's the Sacramento Kings. I'm talking about a San Francisco 49ers team that went to the Super Bowl, that had aspirations of going back to the Super Bowl.
That's
can look at the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Miami Dolphins and say you need to win at least two of those three games. You can look at that.
You're not wrong about the Giants. You're not wrong about this upcoming week. The 49ers should win in nearly identical fashion, minus the multiple cart injuries that they had against the New York Jets.
Tragic.
They need to win, and they should win big against the Giants. And again, remember, this is a Giants team that is now playing without their best player. Their best player is gone. He's gone for the entire year. You got to stop dismissing Philadelphia and Miami. I think you kind of are. I think those might wind up. You're looking ahead to the Rams game. You're ready to start talking trash with all of the Rams fans and the divisional rivalry and all of that stuff. If we did a power rankings for 0-2 teams, Miami might be somewhere near the top of it.
I think you're and other people out there are not hearing my tone. My tone isn't, oh, man, these guys ain't nothing. We should slap them up. No, you have an opportunity to get yourself together with these three teams. You have to take care of the opportunity. It's a sense of urgency, not necessarily a sense of arrogance. It's a sense of urgency. You have an opportunity to take care of business here. It's not like the games that we talk about with the Rams, Saints, Seahawks. You don't have those three games coming up. You know what I'm saying? You have kind of lesser opponents that you should take care of.
Okay. The Giants added Devontae Freeman for this upcoming weekend. He's got COVID tests to pass and all of that stuff, just like everybody else does. So they have their running back now.
That's good. He'll miss a block. He'll miss a blitz pickup, so that'll be good.
Oh, man, Daniel Jones, boy. Eric Armstead's got to be foaming at the mouth right now with the way that offensive line has been. Friend Ward did the same thing. We'll continue to talk about the 49ers. And Kings fans, could you be at the Golden 1 Center next year?
Let's go.
I'll explain as we continue here on Sacramento's home of 49ers football. It's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
We're so happy you're here with us. If you want to jump in and be a part of the show, 916-349-1320 at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. Ben sent us his power ranking. He's at Tall Skinny Ben. 5, Pittsburgh Steelers. 4, okay. Green Bay Packers. 3, Seattle Seahawks. 2, Baltimore Ravens. Number 1, your reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
I don't know what to think of the Steelers yet, man. I really don't. I mean, there's no reason to think, you know, poorly of them. I don't know yet.
Maybe it's brand. It's not loyalty because I'm definitely not a Steelers fan. But if the Steelers and the Cardinals play today, I'd pick the Steelers to win.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And that flies completely in the face of everything I said about 10 minutes ago. But, you know, who cares? It's sports talk. Most of what we
No Rams said. In that top five, though, either.
No.
I got to admit, man, and Javon's going to really like this. This is no reverse jinx. I have been impressed by the Rams in their first two games.
Did you just say reverse jinx? Are you trying to reverse jinx the Los Angeles
No,
Rams?
I'm trying to give a very professional.
How old are you?
Like, I think they're going to lose on Sunday. I'll tell you that right now.
Who do the Rams got
they
Sunday?
They play the Bills. I think the Bills are going to beat in Buffalo. Dude. In Buffalo. I think the Rams will lose. But Goff has played well. The numbers, you know, they put up on Sunday offensively. I'm tipping my hat to them, man. So far after two games.
Are the Bills your football crush this year? I feel like you really, really like them.
No. I mean, once they get to the playoffs, I don't like them. I don't like them better than Baltimore.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I like Baltimore a lot better. I got family ties to Baltimore, man. So,
okay.
You know.
The football team plays the Browns this week.
Yeah, and you're telling me this why, Damon?
I don't know.
Why?
Am I
supposed to watch this? Am I supposed to care?
I'm just pointing it out. Like it's. I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm just pointing out what the game is. By the way, the Steelers, they're playing the Texans.
3-0.
Dude, oh, man. Dude, what a – oh.
Free Deshaun. Free Deshaun. Hashtag free Deshaun.
If the Texans go 0-4, would they finally – put Bill O'Brien out of Texans fans' misery.
No. Didn't he just get a new deal?
Yep.
And isn't he kind of in charge of this?
Would they vlade him?
I mean, it's like the owner would have to step in.
No, he is. No, he's the he's the general manager. He's the guy who traded DeAndre Hopkins.
They would hire a new general manager before firing him. They would use the whole, just too much on your plate, Bill. We're going to take a little bit off. Let's hire a general manager. And then he would have to get fired like a year and a half later.
They're going to bring in Joe Dumars to oversee the situation. And they're going to bring in an advisor. Pete D'Alessandro is on his way to.
That's kind of on brand. They're going to bring in a basketball guy to run the football team.
Oh, they could.
Isn't that what happened in Sacramento? They brought a football player in to run the basketball team here in Sacramento.
It's the Lions.
Congratulations to Monty, though.
You want to go 3-0? He was a football player in Princeton. Like,
look, he's smart as hell, though. I'll tell you
exactly.
That. He's smart
exactly.
As hell. I heard a couple other things about Monty. I'm intrigued by him. I like the way he talks, man. Yeah, I like some of the things I heard about him. I'm intrigued by him.
I'm interested to hear him talk for the first time, whenever that may be. We're very excited about that. Speaking of, let's stick with the Kings here just for a heartbeat. I know this kind of seems out of nowhere. Adam Silver told CNN yesterday that he doesn't think that the NBA season will start any sooner than January. Now, it doesn't specify, because I think this is important, because a lot of NBA fans were obviously dejected at the thought of waking up Christmas morning and spending it with your family and opening up presents and doing all that sort of different thing. And not having NBA basketball on to get you through the entire day. There are normally 5 NBA games on Christmas. And so it wasn't specified when Bob Costas talked to Adam Silver that it was mid-January, late January, because I think the argument that I made last week still works. If the plan is for January, and let's say it's making up a date here, January 6th, anywhere that's January single digit.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, just open the season on Christmas Day. And take another week off. There are random weeks off during the. I mean, goodness gracious, the Raptors or the the Celtics and the Heat have had a week and a half off since the Celtics won game three. Why not? Open up 10 teams. Open up on Christmas Day, play the 25th, and then, you know, everybody starts the season a week and a half.
Wouldn't that seem kind of weird, though?
Yes, it would. Welcome to 2020. You might as well start 2021 off a little bit weird. End it with an NBA game. End it with the NBA season tipping off Christmas Day. And then take a week off. And then come back and everybody can start January, whatever.
I'll say this. The only way I would really be hyped about that is if they could, and I know you were going to talk about it as well, if they can get fans in the building on Christmas.
Yeah.
If it's like, I know they wouldn't be in a bubble, but if it's a complete empty arena, save that, man. Save that.
So I think there's a couple of things to talk about there. There are various reports out there that the NBA is considering doing. Remember, this isn't AT&T Stadium, which Jerry Jones so profitably built to ventilate and navigate the COVID-19 virus, as he has stated for us. This stadium is actually built to fight off the virus. So God bless Jerry Jones.
And remember, he did that 10 years before the virus was thought of.
Amazing.
He's a genius.
He was able to do that. The Golden 1 Center isn't built that way. As a matter of fact, no indoor arena is built that way. And to the best of my knowledge, all basketball teams play indoors. So the dynamic of outdoor, you can certainly still do social distancing. But if we're talking 25%, which is a pretty high percentage, that's probably a little too close. And you'd probably have to drop it down to 10%. So now you're talking about, you know, a couple of hundred people inside the Golden 1 Center. And one of the things that, or any other NBA arena, but one of the things I've heard is that they're considering testing fans with rapid response testing as they enter the arena. Boy, you thought the security checkpoint was a beast before. Wait till you got to get a COVID test before you could go inside. That appears to be something that they're at least thinking. And the other thing that stood out when I read this remark from Bob Costas, or with Bob Costas and Adam Silver, was it must be like for him to kind of rule out Christmas by saying, you know, I don't see it starting before January. To kind of in that remark, it sort of rules out Christmas again. I don't think it completely does. It leads me to believe there's still a lot of hurdles for the NBA to jump over. Yeah. And the plan is, you know, because they feel the way that you do. They want fans in attendance. I'm assuming all 30 teams and Board of Governors are smart enough to know we're not going to have 17,000 people at the Golden 1 Center or at any arena this upcoming season. And obviously, they want to be in the home market. Like, they want to be playing here in Sacramento. They want to be playing, you know, in every home market. So there's a lot of hurdles for this organization. And then I just wonder, like, does Adam think, you know, if we just get to 2021, maybe the world will reset and everything will be
hopefully
better.
Right?
It's just hopefully. You know, when you ever play, I know everybody was buying the PS5 today, right? Is it the PS5?
Xbox, whatever it's called.
Did they both come out today? Am I on the wrong PlayStation number? Like, I don't even know.
No, 5
like,
is the one coming out, and I'm definitely going to be on that 5.
Okay,
right,
so every
PS,
so,
not Xbox.
But we can all relate to getting extremely pissed off in the middle of a game and turning it off.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, kids. I'm just saying occasionally your frustrations get the best of you and you'll go, hell no, this isn't going on my record, and you turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like people want to happen with 2020. Just once the ball drops, just 2020 is completely erased, and it's 2021, and we're all starting fresh.
And we're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is just going to, like, snap in the fingers and reverse of the Thanos. You know, everything just goes back to how it was in 2019. When you talk about the NBA, man, I don't see them not starting until they get fans, and I think they're going to wait that out as long as possible. Like, they say January, but if they're like, well, we can't get any fans in there until February, I think they would wait till February.
But that's it. But he wants an 82-game season, too. Like,
that's crazy. I think that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to completely reset the NBA schedule, I think
which
it's
is
crazy
possible.
Talk.
Which is possible. 82. That has long been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
The altering of the NBA schedule, like, permanently, the changing the way the season runs. You can pull it off, I think, if you start in January. I don't think you can pull it off. I don't know. Like, even if you're, if we're talking late January, early February, I don't think you can pull it off.
No.
Not 82 games, I mean.
Unpopular opinion, maybe, by many. I kind of like the schedule the way it is. And mainly because I love summer basketball just in general outside the NBA. So, you know, you got your Rutgers, you got your Pro-Am leagues, things of that nature, your Drew leagues down in L.A., you know, all that other stuff. I think summer league in Vegas is a gold mine. I think that is perfect.
It's
right?
Something. Yeah.
You got the AAU circuit, you know, with all their tournaments in Vegas and, you know, Orlando and all this other stuff.
By the way,
I like it how it is.
ESPN Management, that's another D'Lo and KC live broadcast from Summer League in Las Vegas. Though, the next time, it might be Winter League.
That just sounds trash.
But think about it. Like,
Why would I
want
to go to Vegas in the winter?
Think about it. What is it, 80 degrees in the winter?
Yeah, but nobody's there in the winter. We can't. The pool parties are closed.
Who cares? Like, good. Let's just go hang out and watch basketball. You just gave the hard sell for summer league basketball, and now you're making
Winter
Vegas about
league.
The pool party.
Winter league. That sounds like trash.
We would never be without the NBA or the NFL. They would be because the finals would end in August.
Mm-hmm.
Training camp is here. Mm-hmm. And then the season, the NFL season starts with the first or second Thursday of September.
I understand that. That's
you got the stretch run for Major League Baseball happening at the same time. It's
give
perfect.
Them August. Give baseball August. Football starts in September. We've got that going on. Hopefully college will be, you know, back up to par, college football. We'll have all that. Like, leave it be. And if you have to leave it be by not doing 82 games and you do 50 or 60, do it that way. I like the schedule how it is because D'Lo and KC are going to Vegas in the summertime to watch Summer League.
Speak it into existence, brother. Speak it into existence. I'm Damian Barling. That is Kenny Caraway. You could connect with us at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. And I owe everybody $100 every time I say that stupid word connect because I say it like 10 times a show. And it's a terrible habit I have. But
I'm keeping track. I need that money.
It's going to be a hefty bill. It's going to be a hefty bill at D'Lo and KC. And 916-349-1320. Hey, is Ramsey still there? Can we get to Ramsey here on these phone lines? If he held out for us, we appreciate it. If he hung up, I don't blame him. Ramsey, what's going on? He didn't hang up.
Oh, Ramsey. I didn't even see
that. That's my bad. Ramsey, give us a call, man. We'll put you right through. I promise. 916-349-1320. I think he wants to talk football. Anyway, you talk about speaking that Las Vegas trip into existence. I wonder if Kyle Shanahan was trying to speak things into existence a little bit because he was asked yesterday at his press conference if Nick Mullins played well, would you consider leaving Jimmy Garoppolo out a little bit longer to heal?
Jimmy's our guy, and I mean, if he's good to go and the doctors say he's healthy and he can go out there and protect himself, and if Jimmy feels confident in doing it and gives us the best chance to win in that case, then Jimmy will be out there. If Jimmy's not safe, then he can't protect himself, then we'll go with Nick. You know, I think it'll be good for Nick to get in there with the first O a little bit more. I thought our cadence was a little bit off when we switched in the second half, just with the rhythm wasn't exact same. It took a little bit for the center, the O-line, and Nick to get used to. So I think that'll be good for the whole group just to work together a little bit more. Because if that is the case on Sunday, it's a lot easier working together than just starting in the third quarter.
Yeah, there's some more conversation to be had about Kyle Shanahan and this upcoming stretch that he's got to deal with. But we were able to get Ramsey back. 916-349-1320. Ramsey, what's going on, baby?
How you gentlemen doing this afternoon?
What's good, Ramsey?
My point that I wanted to make, I know everybody has this argument about San Francisco not being that good, which I personally agree with. My argument is the fact, not just them, but any team that loses enough people up the middle, regardless whether it be offense or defense, it's going to affect the entire team play. San Francisco's lost three people up the middle from the end of last year, whether it be to trades or injuries. They've lost them. Let's just look at another team that's similar to that. Look at Minnesota and why they're not good. They lost three people up the middle on the defensive line with Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, and Danielle Hunter being hurt. So I'm making the same correlation with San Francisco. I mean, they've got, like you said, a potential soft spot in the schedule. But I think overall, I think it's, with all these injuries, with people being out for the year, it may be a down year.
There's one guy out for the year, Ramsey.
No, that's my whole point.
Okay, yeah, look, Solomon Thomas, I hope that he comes back and he makes a return, and I heard he was doing good things in training camp. But let's just keep it a stack here. There was a loud contingency saying he should be cut in training camp, and now we're saying the Niners are going down the tubes because they don't have Solomon Thomas. Come on, guys. Come on now.
Well, I think Ramsey. Hey, Ramsey, we appreciate
Thank you, Ramsey.
You, man.
We
Thanks.
Appreciate
yeah.
you, brother.
No, yeah, no, I think Ramsey makes a great point. I think he makes a great correlation there when bringing up the Minnesota Vikings. Now, we're going to leave Kirk, I don't believe in COVID, Cousins out of this, and we're going to focus on Danielle Hunter being gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to focus on what happened to Minnesota. I'm old enough to remember, like, last season, Minnesota, one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
And they, you know, before the season starts, Danielle Hunter goes to IR, and it's like, oh, okay, all of a sudden, maybe you can't replace this one guy. I don't know that Nick Bosa is that, but we know the impact that Nick Bosa had on the San Francisco 49ers defense last year, and it got Robert Saleh a lot of love. It got him interviews for potential head coaching positions. You and I both believe he's probably right for a head coaching position coming in the next year or two, but that was a great point by Ramsey. Those up the middle guys, they're tough to replace because when you start shifting your focus around, that creates openings for other guys out there.
I completely understand his point. And to his point, I mean, I still think, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the season about one of my concerns, the center position. I think that's a huge problem. Hopefully they get Weston Richburg back. Ben Garland, you know, he as much as we want him back and we're happy that he was, you know, able to make a return, he's still the backup center. You know what I mean? And that's where they have a lot of problems. Jimmy needs a clean pocket, especially now with this ankle situation, if he's going to be successful. So I understand that. But my whole point is, like we mentioned in the pre-show meeting, Ramsey said it. I've heard other people. It's not him. They got all these people out for the year. There's one person out for the year.
There's two people out for the year.
Solomon Thomas is
Stop
out for the year.
Stop disrespecting Solomon Thomas.
Who is a backup. Solomon Thomas is a backup. Now, D. Ford might be out for a long time, too. That's an issue as well.
But D. Ford is out forever. Unconfirmed, but we just believe that he's out for it. It might be best for Kyle Shanahan to approach this as if D. Ford is out forever.
The thing about it, though, is even if all these people were here on the defensive end, I said from the start, the defense is not going to be what they were last year. They just weren't. Your transition was eventually going to be becoming a team that – I don't want to say relies on the offense, but maybe they carry the burden a little bit more, 55-45 compared to the defense. That's where it was naturally going to have to go, in my opinion, if you were going to get over the hump this year. This has just kind of spread up the process, and it's made your defense a little weaker here losing Nick Bosa. But, I mean, like I said, you look at that defense, you're still messing with a Fred Warner, a Quan Alexander, a Dre Greenlaw, Eric Armstead stepped up, Richard Sherman when he comes back, Jimmy Ward played phenomenal, Tart. You still got studs all over the defense. I tell people like this, and I'll let you respond to it, Damian. No disrespect to who Nick Bosa is to this team and what he means to this team and the talent that he is. But I felt way more devastated and hopeless when Jimmy tore his ACL 2 years ago than I did on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just...
Well, they're different.
Maybe that's just me. But the season was over that day. The season's not over right now.
But when you're starting, because I think there's this, the starting quarterback is the only guy who has the ball in his hand in the center, which brings your point that you just made a minute ago. Other than those two guys, they're the only two who have the ball in their hands every single play, every single, you know, offensive play. So there's oftentimes like one particular situation is really sticking out in my head. And I can't remember who we were talking to. It was maybe Andy Benoit. It was a film nerd. And I was talking to him about the Raiders. And Khalil Mack was still on the team. And the Raiders were really struggling. And it was like, you know, why? Like, who is the Raiders' best defensive player? He was like, oh, it's Khalil Mack. But Khalil Mack had no sacks, he had no highlight. He had nothing to look at. His stat sheet was empty.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when you go back and you watch the film and you realize how much attention a player like that commands from the offensive line, when you realize how much game planning an offense has to do for a player as dynamic as Khalil Mack, then you recognize without it's similar to a cornerback. They may be without a sack. They may be without a tackle. They may be without all sorts of things, but the defense is zeroing in on them. we don't get that same hopeless feeling when a defensive back goes down, or when a, you know, when an offensive lineman goes down, or a defensive lineman goes down, because we don't see the gaudy numbers. We see the 400 yards, four touchdowns, zero interceptions every year. We took power rankings, right? Power rankings, they align pretty well with our quarterback rankings and MVP rankings and Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and all these guys. It's quarterback, it's quarterback, it's quarterback. Well, you want to talk about still a line from LeBron James? You want to talk about valuable? Let's talk about Danielle Hunter and what his absence has meant to the Minnesota Vikings. I don't want to say that same sentence about the San Francisco 49ers in 2 weeks when we go look at what the absence of Nick Bosa has meant to the San Francisco 49ers. And this is where, you know, in dealing with Jimmy Garoppolo's ankle, in dealing with Raheem Mostert's knee, and Tevin Coleman missing the next couple of weeks, and Deebo Samuel still hasn't debuted this season. George Kittle didn't play last week. Hopefully George Kittle doesn't play this. Now we're looking at a situation where we're going to judge a lot of what the 49ers do over the next couple of weeks, or perhaps this entire season, based off of what Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh are able to do. And because Kyle Shanahan is the head coach, it's all going to fall on him. So what we see over the next handful of weeks with all of these injuries before guys start to return, I think it's going to fall squarely on the shoulders of Kyle Shanahan.
Absolutely. This is where he gets paid the big bucks, you know, to navigate these type of waters, man. And I know this is probably the third straight day that I've mentioned it. I might mention it for 13 straight days. Mike Tomlin, when things are haywire in Pittsburgh, whether it's contracts, whether it's injuries, whether it's characters, when AB was all there, whatever, they were still dangerous at all times. And that is what I'm looking for from Kyle Shanahan. I'm looking for him to rally the troops. In this particular case, like I said, fingers crossed, tap, knocking on wood, all this other stuff, guys are coming back. Guys will be back. Major guys will be back. You just got to hold it down and make sure in these next 3 weeks that nothing just falls off the cliff. All right. You got to make sure they go 2-1, possibly 3-0, getting into your division game with the Rams. Kyle, you got to find a way. Whether you're getting in your bag and scheming the hell out of all these games, putting people where they need to be, making sure you're making the game as easy as possible for your guys, you've got to find a way. And that is why the guys like Tomlin, the guys like Belichick get held in the esteem that they're held in, because they can make that happen. Kyle, are you that type of coach? I think he is. I believe he is. You know how I feel about him. But these are the moments when you really prove yourself.
I know he needs to have better decision-making when it comes to his mask.
Oh, he was, man.
He was one of three coaches who were fined $100,000 each for not properly wearing their masks. And it's actually going to be five coaches, because neither John Gruden, who revealed, I think, for the first time that he had the COVID virus. He said he sensitive. I don't know. Like, didn't they do a prank? I feel like the Raiders did a prank, which I don't get, but whatever, where they told their players, like, oh, Gruden, he's in the hospital, and he's got the virus, and all of the players were really shocked. They were on a Zoom call, and then Gruden comes on, and he goes, huh, just kidding, guys. I wanted you to know how serious this was.
Huh?
Like, okay. But he said yesterday at the press conference that he had the virus. So, again, I had not heard that before last night. He had the virus. Anyways,
okay.
He didn't wear his mask. We know Sean Payton had the virus. He was one of the first that we learned had it. Neither one of those guys properly wore their mask, so that total is going to be up to five. In addition to the $100,000 individual fines, the teams, including your San Francisco 49ers, were fined $250,000 each.
Woo.
I'm fascinated by the masks thing as it pertains to the coaches, because I feel like all of these guys are already around each other. Again, it's exercising safety as much as possible. This is not a small fine. Like, this is a hefty punishment. Okay, we're gonna go to break. We're gonna come back. There's a lot of other things to talk about, including week two surprises. Deion Sanders filled out his coaching staff. I want to look into this in the break. It was $100,000 for these coaches to be fined. It was $250,000 for the teams. Can we look into what Ray Lewis's punishment was back?
Oh, man.
I feel like it's in this same general vicinity. We need to look into that. I know that's a total sidebar, but we're talking about the decision-making Kyle Shanahan's going to have to make. He's going to have to make better decisions when it comes to this mask, or his pocketbook is going to be a whole lot lighter before the end of the season. Plenty more to talk about. The Oakland A's win the NL West. How about that? And what 2-0 team are you least confident in? All of that coming up here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
We welcome everybody listening on the radio.com app. Make sure you save ESPN 1320 as your favorite radio station. If you're in the car, you're driving around, or you're listening on a regular radio, know that you can listen to us right there on your desktop. You can listen to us on your phone, your iPad, whatever your little tablet device may be. Just download the radio.com app, register. It's completely free. Search ESPN 1320. Hit the heart button. Save us as your favorite radio station. That'll also send you push notifications for breaking sports news. It'll send you push notifications every day when we go live, whenever we have guests, or whenever we have a moment that we think you just can't miss. That's all there on the radio.com app. Here's an interesting moment that I didn't expect to be reporting on today. Michael Jeffrey Jordan is now in the NASCAR business.
Okay.
He's partnering up with Denny Hamlin to have his own NASCAR team, and his first driver, Bubba Wallace.
Okay.
Michael Jordan will be the first high-profile, marking a high-profile pairing of a black majority team owner and the only black driver at NASCAR's top level. That's the partnership of Bubba Wallace and Michael Jordan.
Mike then just turned into Huey Newton in 2020.
Yeah, this is uncharted waters for Mike. Like he said... This is what Jordan said in his statement. Historically, NASCAR has struggled with diversity, and there have been few black owners. The timing seemed perfect as NASCAR is evolving and embracing social change more and more.
Okay. Good for Mike, man. There's one guy that you probably never hear me say a bad thing about is Michael Jordan.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Mike. I think I want to read one other line of the sentence because I think it's important. Excuse me. One other line from the statement. I see this as a chance to educate a new audience and open up more opportunities for black people in racing. So Mike is in uncharted waters here because in the last year and a half or so, really in 2020, but really, I think over the last few years, Michael Jordan has done something that he's never done before, and he's established himself as a powerful black businessman and a powerful black former athlete. He had always just been a powerful athlete or a powerful businessman, but now he's taking stances with Black Lives Matter. He's taking stances in causes that directly impact the black community. Again, these are uncharted waters publicly. Whatever he did privately without press releases and us knowing about, can't speak to any of that because I've heard he's done it a lot. But this is different. And when you're putting yourself out there, you're looked at differently. And you're looked at differently by white people, which is virtually the entire NASCAR audience. Jordan now went from Michael Jordan, potentially the greatest professional athlete we have ever seen in our lifetime, too. He's just another black dude to these NASCAR fans. That's what he, it's not, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I applaud this move by, it's a great business move. Hey, it's a great move. More black owners in any field. Great. Like it's awesome. But to say a phrase like NASCAR is embracing change, That's great. If that's true, if NASCAR is really embracing change, the change has to come from their consumer.
Right.
And I don't know that Bubba Wallace nor Michael Jordan is going to get me to sit down and to watch a NASCAR event. And if black people aren't sitting down to watch NASCAR events and the same people that are sitting down to watch NASCAR events are the same ones that are doing it right now, this move ultimately doesn't mean anything outside of Michael Jordan's portfolio. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because I do understand that.
You only got to go to one Bubba Wallace tweet to read what NASCAR fans think of black people in NASCAR. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or one Bubba Wallace post from any, you know, social media field. You can see what NASCAR fans think about black people involved in their sport. Michael Jordan, now he's positioning himself as, oh, he's no different than LeBron. He's no different than these other basketball players. He's no different than any of this stuff. These guys are just going out there and screaming change. You had an entire league. You had two leagues, Kenny, and I'm turning this conversation for a second. You had two leagues for months screaming Breonna Taylor's name. You know what it's going to amount to? Nothing. Hmm. It's going to amount to absolutely nothing, because whether it's today or it's tomorrow or it's Friday or it's Saturday, at some point in the coming days, Louisville, Kentucky is going to announce that those cops are not going to face any charges. Those cops are not going to be indicted. We've talked about the power of voices, and we talked about the impact of using these platforms, and now you have a situation where every single, whether it was Naomi Osaka, whether it was the people at the Emmys the other day, whether it was the entire WNBA wearing her name on the back of their jerseys, or it was Chris Paul addressing her family in front of a camera, It's going to amount to nothing. Think about that. All of that power amounts to nothing. What is Michael Jordan going to do for a historically loyal, Southern, racially charged fan base?
Mm-hmm.
If Michael Jordan wants to own a NASCAR team, cool. But to talk about making change within NASCAR, bro, you are fighting one hell of an uphill battle with this one.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely an uphill battle. But and while everything you said is spot on, like I completely agree and understand with everything you said, I am going to, just by their actions, maybe, you know, if I deep dive a little bit more, whatever the case may be, but by their actions, NASCAR has made more of a commitment than I've ever seen them before to, you know, trying to be inclusive and mm-hmm. understanding of the climate that's going on in this country under new ownership, you know, of the brand of NASCAR. They're trying to do more. And as far as like Jordan and, you know, that carries weight. Mm-hmm. I'm not alone when I say I'll actually give a damn about if Bubba Wallace wins a match or not. But you know what I'm saying? Before all this, I could care less about NASCAR. I really could care less. Like, I never understood how it got the ratings, why it's on primetime with Fox, all this other, because I could care less. But now you put that Jumpman on the hood of the car, and the things he's talked about, Bubba Wallace, the things he's gone through and the things that he's talked about, I'm mm-hmm. not going to sit up here and lie to you and say I'm going to watch the whole damn race, but I will care. And if he wins, I'm retweeting it. I'm like, oh, that's dope. Maybe I'll check in for the last 30 minutes if I'm seeing that it's close. I want to see him win. I'm here, and I was never, ever, ever going to be here before this.
That's a fine point, because the last, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes of a NASCAR race can be really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be a lot of fun. My grandpa used to watch it. He loved Jeff Gordon. Like, I would catch a few races with him. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be bored for 2 hours, but when it got to those final laps, it could be pretty exciting. So will it result in me tuning in? No, I don't know. I have no idea, but it was always a hard entity to support. But I'll support Michael Jordan. I'll support Bubba Wallace and Denny Hamlin and what these guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have the same history necessarily, I don't think, that NASCAR has. But it's like tennis. I mean, no disrespect to any of the other people, but, I mean, if it's not Naomi, if it's not Serena, if it's not Sloane, probably not watching.
Well, I mean, it brought in a whole, you know, those people that you named, Naomi's doing it now, bringing in, you know, an entire new audience. You know, Venus and Serena
brought in a Naomi.
It's what Tiger did. It's what Tiger did with golf. Tiger mm-hmm. brought in an entirely new demographic to golf. I don't think it's a stretch to say that Tiger introduced black people to golf. And I don't mean like every black person ever. I mean like demographically in terms of television, in terms of sports fans, it was Tiger. And now there are fans, black or white, or any other, you know, racial or ethnic makeup. It's like, Tiger in? No? All right. I'm not as concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Tiger's in the field, oh, you know, we're locking in. You know, Tiger had that ability. Maybe Bubba Wallace will do the same thing. It's just NASCAR is a, you know, NASCAR is a different animal. They took the step with, and maybe they can create change. They took the step with the Confederate flags, you know, removing them. Of course, I think it was a day later, a week later, one of their drivers had a, I think it was a Blue Lives Matter car or something out there, which is pretty much the, it's the 2020 equivalent to that flag. So I we'll see. I just don't know where to go with that.
One of the biggest things about that is I agree with you. It's an uphill battle. You're not getting rid of, you know, those fans and even those drivers in there. But NASCAR and Jordan, I assume, and Bubba Wallace, while they understand they can't get rid of them, they're going to sit up there and be like, that's not okay. Like, they'll point it out. Yeah. They'll be like, it's not cool. You know, for the longest time, the people in NASCAR who ran it, they were like, oh, Confederate flags and all this. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And these guys seem to be like, nah, it's not cool, man. It's not all right. And that's one step. I know it might seem like a small step, but that's one step in the right direction.
All the steps we're taking are small, player. But as long as we keep stepping and moving forward, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Barling, Kenny Carraway. Four topics, two arguments, no winners. One on one. D'Lo and KC.
Kenny Carraway, let's dive into this, but I this kind of ties into my first question.
Okay.
But not exactly. Anthony Lynn said he's sticking with Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it in rather unique fashion. He was like, you know, there's a reason Justin Herbert's a backup. Like,
excuse
he's still
me? He said that?
Despite the fact that he threw for 300 yards, remind you, this was a completely impromptu. This was literally, you talk about there's game time decisions, and then there's game time decisions. This decision was made at game time, like, hey, kid, get your helmet. You're starting. And I thought Justin Herbert went out there and played very, very well. He almost led the Chargers to a victory over the defending Super Bowl champions. It looked like, well, Tyrod Taylor did his job. He only had to do it for a week, but his job was to transition to Justin Herbert. But Anthony Lynn says, no, if Tyrod Taylor's healthy, he's going to be our starting quarterback in week 3. What do you think of that? And what do you think of the little, as you would say, the little drive-by?
Yeah, it was definitely a drive-by. If you feel that way about Tyrod Taylor and you want to show, you know, loyalty, because there's, you know, some people believe you shouldn't lose your job over injury, right? I get that. That's actually okay. Like, you want to go back to Tyrod Taylor, as good as Herbert looked, cool. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
The drive-by was completely unnecessary, uncalled for. And eventually, I think it might cost him his job. Not now, not right away, not if they go like 10-6. But you're talking about the guy that ownership decided this is going to be our franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to have a drive-by on him like that. Off the rip, like, there's a reason why he's the backup. What's the reason?
Yeah.
You took the defending champs into overtime, and the reason might be the fact that you didn't go for it on a 4th-and-1 with the game on the line. That might be the reason. All right, so I don't know what Anthony Lynn's thinking was. I really have no idea.
311 yards for Justin Herbert, 22 of 33, one touchdown, one interception, 4 rushes for 18 yards in his, only game yet to this season. We'll see what happens with Tyrod Taylor. That wasn't my question, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out.
Bonus.
My actual question is, week 2 is in the books.
Yeah.
Capped off with the Raiders' victory yesterday over the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising to some. What is your biggest week 2 surprise?
My biggest week 2 surprise. It's got to be the Raiders. You know what I mean? And it's not that. I didn't think they were going to win yesterday. But you know, they won that game, and how good they look on offense. They look potent on the offensive end of the football. And 2-0, man. I'm surprised with them, and that's my biggest takeaway right now is the Oakland Raiders 2-0 and putting up 34 points a game.
There was nothing to me more surprising than seeing a team down 20, a team score 39 points, a team shy away from an onside kick, a team, you know, kick a field goal to win. There, that Dallas-Atlanta game was full of surprises. That's not really the context of the question, though. Biggest week two surprise? Man, the Los Angeles Rams. I think they're for
that's
real.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah,
Jared Goff continues to play really, really well. There's certainly a conversation to be had about the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's fine. But the Rams are doing their part. The Rams are doing their part. Suddenly, Jared Goff is back to running play actions.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Jared Goff is back to being a deep ball threat. Suddenly, Jared Goff is protecting possessions again.
Mm-hmm.
Three touchdowns, no interceptions. Los Angeles, my bad. I was wrong. The Rams are good, and I think this game against Philadelphia showed it.
Yeah, they look really good, man. I once again got to tip my hat to the LA Rams and the way they started the season, man. So big ups to them. Damian, we talked about it a little bit yesterday when we have our first like remote broadcast, you know, when the NBA is coming back, or, you know, maybe even, you know, for Super Bowl Sunday when the Niners are in the Super Bowl, you know, we have our remote broadcast, right?
Okay.
We said we were going to come in like Deion Sanders, right? We were going to come in with the motorcade. We're going to come in with the drum line. We're going to come in, you know, like Prince Hakeem's family and have the ladies throwing rose petals as we step around. That's how we're coming in.
Bathe him at once.
Well, Deion Sanders wasn't done, allegedly, right? It was reported earlier today that Deion has his coaching staff raring and ready to go, and that coaching staff includes an OC of Jason Phillips, wide receiver coach of Terrell Owens, defensive line coach of Warren Sapp,
what,
defensive coordinator Dennis Thurman, and defensive back coach Mario Edwards Sr. Sanders said staff is reportedly going to have a combined 84 years of NFL playing and coaching experience. Now, there's been reports that Deion has said, this is false. I don't have my coaching staff together, whatever the case may be. Who knows if it's true or not? That's not the question I have for you. Let's just assume that it's true. Are you buying or selling Jackson State as a I don't know, a new Boise State with this whole coaching staff they got?
No, I'm selling that. I'm not buying that at all. I'm intrigued by this. If it's real. If the Terrell Owens thing and the Warren Sapp thing, it's real. Now, again, Deion, the legalities that go into putting together a college coaching staff, one, it should also be pointed out that those guys that you mentioned, particularly the bigger names like Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp, they're probably working for next to nothing. There's a budget in which Jackson State has to operate within. It was negotiated when they hired their head coach. It's just the way college athletics work. And so those guys, that's a hell of a staff that you put together. They're probably, in a way, volunteering a whole lot of their time.
Right.
I don't know how Terrell Owens is as a coach. I know he was a hell of a wide receiver. I don't know how Warren Sapp is as a coach. I know he did his job well also. As a Boise State, no, I'm happy. I just want it to go well. It's an HBCU. It's getting a ton of headlines. I just don't want it to blow up in Deion's face or in Terrell Owens or Jackson State's or anybody else's. I'm rooting for this to succeed. Mm-hmm. But to succeed on a level that Boise State did, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe years down the line, maybe this is a game changer in recruiting. Like people have questioned over the last year if, you know, if HBCUs, particularly as it pertained to basketball, if they would be if the game was going to change in terms of their recruiting, there's not really a ton of evidence. There are incidents that you can point to and go, okay, this is different. But is there like a momentum of change? I don't think so. I think it's a good story if it's true. I think the Deion Sanders thing is a good story. Yeah. The coaching staff thing is fun. But ultimately, what does it mean in the end? I'm not sure. Just hopefully a lot of love for Jackson State. Maybe they get a couple of primetime games we can look at. That's about where I see it, though.
I'll be watching on BET once Good Times goes off. Yep. I'll be watching Jackson State. Definitely going to check them out.
Right before the Martin postgame show?
Yeah. You know, it's followed by A Different World. I'm going to be watching it all. Ooh. I'm going to be locked on BET all Saturday. Mm-hmm. All right? So maybe it works in that respect. Let me ask you a question, Damian. Was Magic Johnson a head coach at one point?
Yes.
Okay.
I think twice. Maybe not twice, but yeah, it was bad. Didn't go well.
Was Isaiah Thomas, the Pistons Isaiah Thomas, he was a coach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jason Kidd, he was a coach too?
Yep.
Bill Russell, was he a coach?
He's Sacramento. Sacramento Kings legend, Bill Russell.
Okay. Kind of doesn't seem like it goes well. Just because you were great at the game to be a coach. And it's a different sport, but yeah. I don't know.
Take out Bill Russell in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Because you pretty much have to discount that entire era. Not disrespectfully, just in the context of the conversation. Yeah. Is Larry Bird the best player who became a coach ever?
I think so.
Because Larry Bird, arguably, you know, in some people, top five greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, just off the top of my head, if you can think of one, at D-Lo1KC or 916-349-1320, I can't think of a player. I mean, Steve Kerr, very good player. You know, Jason Kidd, good player, not a great coach. You know what I mean? Like, there are guys that I can't think of one in football at all. But those guys were way before
Steve
my time.
Spurrier, I think he was like really good in college, wasn't he? And then he had a good college coaching career. I think Steve Spurrier won a Heisman.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess that's a good one. That is a good one.
Jim Harbaugh.
Okay. Jim, okay, settle down.
I'm good pro coach.
Jim Harbaugh is a good pro coach.
Yeah.
Really good. Where was he? Stanford? He's really good at Stanford.
He's not bad at Michigan. He just can't beat two teams.
But it's too bad because the only team that matters is the team that he can't beat.
Like, I agree. I'm just saying he's not bad.
Bonus question, is Harbaugh coming back to the NFL? If so, when?
I'm going to say in 2 years. Yes, he's coming back to the
NFL. Coming back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What 2-0 team are you least confident in?
John, I apologize.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Wow.
Allen Knox. I apologize.
John's listening on the radio.com app. He's probably tweeting something on Twitter right now, and he hears his name called out. Cold piece of work.
President Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. Arthur A.G., Hoop Dreams fame. You're probably a Bears fan, too. I apologize. But the Bears are easily, by far, the 2-0 team that I have the least amount of confidence in. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay. It's hard to argue that. It's really... really difficult to argue that. I mean, it's hard to get game one out of your head. It's a spectacular comeback that shouldn't have happened, but it did. You like point differentials. The Bears right now, they're at a +8 so far on the season.
Worked for the Seahawks. Worked for them last year.
It did. Yeah, it sure did. And I think I'd put the Bears in that category also. I don't like the Titans long term, but that division's awful. Jacksonville is terrible. Did we talk about the Monday night football game yet? Or the Thursday night game?
Where it's, oh, my god!
It's Gardner Minshew versus Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Just throw it all away. Thursday night football. That's what you're going to do. Just throw it away.
Dude, I'm going to be – oh, my gosh. I just had this, like, sense of panic. If TNT is not airing a basketball game that night, I'm going to be so agitated. Wouldn't that be like they're going
to
give
it's
the
to be
Western
game four? I think.
Oh,
Lakers
man.
Nuggets.
I'm nauseous just at this thought. Here we go. Yep. Okay, we're good. We've got basketball to watch. We're not stuck with Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania.
Oh, jeez.
But that's a terrible division, which is why I'm not going to put the Tennessee Titans in that. And I think Ryan Tannehill has done well. Unfortunately, you know, for the Bears fans out there and all of the Bears fans that you just named and the God bless and soul of Walter Payton, It's mm-hmm. it's the Chicago Bears. It's hard to believe in them. Is there a team that you're an 0-2 team that you think that still make the playoffs?
You know, not really, right? I don't think the Giants are any good. The Eagles, Minnesota, no. Carolina, Atlanta, no. Obviously, the Jets, no. Denver, I don't know if they'll be able to do it in that division. If I had to pick one team that I haven't completely given up on yet, sounds crazy.
Okay.
But the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but for the sake of answering the question, I think that would be the closest thing.
But I want you
to
I want you to believe it, though. I want you to feel it, like in your pit. There's no team that if you just, I kind of, not Philadelphia, not Minnesota, not
definitely
Denver.
Definitely not Minnesota. Definitely not
Deshaun Watson.
Poor Deshaun.
And the Houston Texans.
Free Deshaun. Free Deshaun. Hashtag free Deshaun.
Not my man Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins. You don't feel any of those?
No.
No?
Not at all. I think Detroit has shown me the most in their 0-2 start. Not even Atlanta. Atlanta hasn't shown me anything. They show me they don't know how to get an onside kick. That's what they've shown me.
Yeah. All right.
So none of those teams have shown me anything aside from Detroit, who probably should be 1-1.
I'm gonna hang on to two teams, just with a thread, though. Just a tiny thread.
Okay.
Miami's one of them.
Miami?
Yeah, I know. It's dumb. Shut up. The other one is Carolina. I'm still confused.
What?
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, Christian McCaffrey. Like, I want to believe.
I'm giving you the Kevin Hart look as we speak.
He really is. That is that's getting screenshotted and posted all over social media at 2:02, don't you? Like the second this video
just as long as you screenshot what you just said. The Carolina Panthers?
Maybe.
Christian McCaffrey's out for probably 6 weeks.
I know. I'm trying to feel something though. Like if Drew Lock hadn't gotten hurt, if Denver suffered damn near as many catastrophic injuries as the San Francisco 49ers did. Had that not happened to them, I might have gone with them.
You really like Denver. I've never.
No, I don't. I don't like Denver.
You were intrigued by them earlier in the season.
I was.
You were intrigued
by
Drew Lock too.
That's it.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Shut up, Kenny. Why don't you do the last 10 minutes by yourself?
All right, here we go. The KC show, ready to take. No, of course. Damien, Carolina.
I don't know. I'm not saying, because you know why? Because my pride refuses to.
Just come on, go with Detroit.
No. No. Excuse me. Do I need to remind you how I feel about Matt Patricia?
Yeah. Okay.
The only guy I dislike.
That's actually not making me feel good either.
The only guy I dislike more than Matt Patricia is the dope who is destroying Deshaun Watson's career in Houston.
There's no reason
whatsoever Houston should be 0-2. None. With no glimmer of hope. You can't look at the Texans and go, man, things are going to turn around. Things are going to get better. You know why? Because Dopey is still leading the charge.
Oh, man. Back-to-back dopes.
You're going to get Deshaun Watson killed.
We need to have a power ranking. We have power rankings today. We need to have a power ranking on who we go harder on this show. I mean, Taysom Hill is up there. Baker Mayfield is up there. Bill O'Brien. Matt Patricia. I don't know
Adam
who's number
Gase.
One, though. Adam Gase.
Adam Gase.
I think Bill O'Brien might be number one.
Bill O'Brien is.
But just for the show, like, I think that's above how I feel about Baker Mayfield and Taysom Hill.
Ooh.
You and Bill O'Brien might be number one.
Bro, you've been going at Taysom Hill for a minute. You've been going at Taysom Hill ever since I told you how much he makes.
I mean, maybe I should fall back, because last night I was watching the game and he lowered his shoulder, and I think I need to stop going back at him.
He dips. He gets that. He gets.
Our producer Jesse says Taysom Hill gets one shot a week for me. True. Bill O'Brien might get two shots, though.
I do not. He's destroying Deshaun Watson's career. Like, what? Look at what they had last year. Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt. Jadeveon Clowney. You couldn't get anything to work with Jadeveon Clowney. You couldn't get anything to work with DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason. You let him go. Now you got Deshaun Watson, and you got the ghost of J.J. Watt, who's pushing his new red, white, and blue Reeboks all over Instagram today and all over Twitter.
Don't even get me started on J.J. Watt.
The ghost of J.J. Watt. And, hey, this is where the D. Ford conversation comes into play. How many basketball players can you think of come back from a back injury and are as good as new? The answer is none. Larry Bird retired because of it. Dwight Howard's career was never the same after his first back surgery heading into Los Angeles. J.J. Watt has back issues. I'm not trying to trash him. I'm stalling him out here.
Right.
Coming back from a back injury in a mostly non-contact sport like the NBA, now you're going to come back and you're going to get hit by other giant men who are as equally strong and as fast as you. Of course he's not going to be the same. You have floundered what should have been MVP caliber seasons from Deshaun Watson. And that falls squarely on the shoulders of Bill O'Brien, and Bill O'Brien will continue to take shots here on this show until he turns it around or until he's fired. You know, Luke Walton takes a lot of shots on the show,
does.
Too. I realize a lot of coaches
he's just
shots.
Outside the number five spot on the Shottus power ranking here on D-Lo and KC's Shottus. Boop, boop. That's what Damian does every time Bill O'Brien gets mentioned.
I don't have any venom, though, against Luke Walton. I just don't think he's a good coach. It's just an opinion. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. It's good for us if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think Bill O'Brien is ruining Deshaun Watson's career.
I don't even argue with you. I don't disagree with you. You talk about J.J. Watt playing with the back. Look, not everybody is boxers, all right? Boxers come back from bad backs all the time. Okay, maybe just one.
Don't do this, dude. Don't
broke my back. My back is broken.
Spinal.
The music has been stopped. So let me get to the floor.
The music stopped. The show is over. The show is over because the music stopped. Leon asked players to become good coaches. Does Phil Jackson not count? Was Phil Jackson a great player?
Nah, he was a role player.
Yeah, I didn't think
so. He was a champion,
so.
But he's a role player.
Yeah.
Like that was Walt Frazier. Walt Frazier, Willis Reed. I think even Dave DeBuscher was like a bigger star than Phil Jackson on that team. But he's a champion now on the court.
I mean, very, very little matters, though, is we're channeling our C.J. McCollum and Mike Tyson.
I broke my back, spinal.
What was the problem?
I broke my back, spinal.
Yo, he goes, tomorrow we got to get the extended, because he goes, I broke my back. My back is broken. What do you mean, like a vertebrae?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Mike, were you really...
That's an all-timer. Forever and ever. All-timer.
Oh,
Jim Gray.
Gosh.
Jim Gray. Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, that is
spinal?
So great.
No, Jim Gray goes, what do you mean? Really, a vertebrae?
This week, what was the problem?
I broke my back.
He looks so concerned.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
I can't do it. Oh, man. Jesse, take over. This show is yours, man. I don't think I'm going to be able to regroup.
Man. That's an all-timer, man.
Spinal.
That is an all-timer. Poor Jim Gray sitting there. What, a vertebrae? What do you mean?
like Jim Gray, like, you what? You talk about the decision. Jim Gray's most famous decision was to follow up that response with another question. Like, he had to decide right there in this moment, am I going to this dude just say he broke his back?
His back is
my
broken.
My whole spine is broken, Jim.
And you just knock somebody else. Like I said, if J.J. Watt could channel in his boxer, you know, maybe he can go out there and dominate. Because only boxers win when their backs are broken.
And J.J. was a freakish athlete. Like, J.J. was a legitimate, like, MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, he was scoring touchdowns one year, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's tough to hold up to this, man. It's tough to continue that pace. And, you know, I hate it for him. I hate it for Deshaun Watson. And I don't know if Bill O'Brien took over just coaching duties and they allowed someone to come in there and be the general manager. I'm trying to say something nice about him. Like, I can't. I don't know.
No good as a coach.
Did anyone win the AL West last night?
Well, in fact, Damian, somebody did win the AL West, and they didn't even have to play the game. The A's had the night off, but they clinched the AL West for the 2020 season. They're actually, surprisingly to my knowledge, so as of right now, we got a week left in the season, but they're the number three seed in the American League. Quick test here. Don't look. Who is the top two seeds in the American League?
Oh, the top two seeds in the American League. Is it Cleveland?
Mm-mm. They're seventh.
Really? Oh, goodness.
I don't think you'll get this if
I don't. I don't think I will either. I'm. You know what else is stunning is the last time I said New York Yankees on this program, they had lost.
The queen bee came for you last time you said something, so relax.
I know. She sure did, and I know you probably got an earful after I clapped back at her like, hey, sorry, your team sucks, and yet here they are. They clinched the playoff spot.
Yeah.
Yankees in the playoffs. I have no
idea. That's my pick to go
to
the World Series, by the way.
The Yankees?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the Yankees. This even goes past the queen bee. You know, somehow she's a Yankees and Cowboys fan. Unbelievable.
Gross.
We're talking about my fiance, by the way.
You're marrying her, huh?
She clapped back on Damian when he said something crazy.
She sure did.
And she'll probably do it again today.
And she puts up with you as a 49ers fan?
Kind of. She kind of puts up with
you. Oh, okay. She just marginally puts up with
barely.
You. Tell her I know the feeling.
But the top two seeds, the number two seed, the Chicago White Sox. I think that's Marshall Harris's Chicago White Sox, if I'm not mistaken. And the number one seed in the American League, 36-19, your Tampa Bay Rays.
I figured it was them after. Okay.
So I guess I need to pose a question there. Mm-hmm. Are the A's going to win the American League?
I don't see why not. I mean, why not? But I don't think so. Like, they're not my pick to win the American League, though I think they've played good baseball all year.
That would be a major disappointment. Like, I know they lost Chapman, so that's a tough blow. That's a really tough blow. Maybe that takes a little bit of sting off. But they were the prohibitive favorite pretty much this entire shortened season. If they don't go to the World Series, it's a failure for the Oakland A's.
I guess. Did you hear? I was talking to Sarah Hodges and Marshall Harris about this over the weekend. Like, this expanded playoff might stick around.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I really don't. Like, it does kind of take away, like, the A's winning the division. It didn't have the same effect as it did when there's, like, four teams or six teams to make the playoffs. So that kind of sucks. But I kind of like the idea of the expanded playoffs. I do.
Okay. All right. Well, we got playoffs tonight. Nuggets and Lakers here on ESPN 1320. Game starts at 6. You still is the broom? You still got the price tag on the broom? Maybe you could take it back after the sweep. Like you still got that?
I've thrown away the receipt.
Okay. I'm not even going to argue this time, because I gotta imagine. Dude, those guys got to be demoralized after what Anthony Davis did to him. I mean, given the incredible pace that they have played at over the course of the last few weeks, I mean, really month here at this point. Now you're going against, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis. You have a chance to even the series. You have a chance to steal a game. And Anthony Davis, you make a great defensive play, by the way. Lost in history will be Jamal Murray's fantastic block seconds before Anthony Davis hit that three. You know, I believe psychology plays a major part in sports, and they got to be demoralized a little bit. After that loss. So you can catch that tonight, though. It'll be, if game two is any indication, it'll be a fun watch and it'll be a fun listen. Again, you can listen to that here on ESPN 1320, your home of the NBA playoffs. Of course, we are your home of 49ers football as well. Damon Ratto and Kolsky are coming up next. Damian Barlin, Kenny Caraway, we appreciate you so much for being with us. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at D'Lo McKC and at ESPN 1320. Make sure you download the radio.com app. And you are here with us tomorrow on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Holla.